Blog Talk Radio.
It is time to elevate your mind and let's go higher. Let's go higher in the Lord. For God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And know this on this glorious and victorious Sunday afternoon, August 28th, 2016. That he is a present help in the time of trouble. And when we let go and we let God, he will do that which is impossible. But we know that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we are able to ask and even think. Praise ye the Lord to all of you in listening radio land. You tuned in to the greatest time of biblical knowledge, revelation, inspiration, and motivation by way of the manna from on high broadcast heard on all seven continents around the world. And the population is continuing to grow. The progression is continuing on up the King Highway. And there was ever a time that we needed to hear that mighty word from God. That time is here and now. For here and now is the acceptable day and time of the Lord. And I'm telling you something, God is doing something wonderful, doing something great upon this terrestrial terrain called earth that we're dwelling upon. Because as I indicated earlier, that we are in the phase of Shekinah glory. To those who love the Lord and seek his face and call upon his name, this dispensation is referred to as the Shekinah glory phase, where God shows divine favor to those who have so diligently toiled, to those who have so diligently called upon his name and sought his face and desired to do his will. God is giving us divine breakthroughs that we never thought we would receive on this terrestrial terrain. That's right, in this day and time. And thank God for the Shekinah glory phase. And let me tell you something. You've got to be in the divine favor of God. That's right, to receive the benefits of this dispensation, because there's three levels of the rain. The three levels of the rain. We talked about the first rain. That's right, the first rain got the ground damp, got the ground moist. The second rain began to replenish the vegetation and the plants. But now we're on the third level, which is that latter rain, that latter rain. We want to experience that latter rain. But the latter rain was greater than the first. It was greater than the second, where God is doing that which is visibly impossible to man and inexplainable to man, but is divine and miraculous to those of us who have spiritual knowledge, who have the gift of his presence within us and within our lives. We're at that very phase of the latter rain. We're feeling the latter rain effect. We're seeing those trees fall. That's right, like the cedar of Lebanon. That's right, like the green bay tree. That's right. And what's so miraculous about the tree is that not only has it grown in stature, it begins to expand and expound, but with the latitudinal margins are just too immense to use standardized levels of measurement. That's right, because God has given us that latter rain. I'm telling you, I want all the miracles, all the blessings, all of the benefits of this season. And if you're like me, you want to receive the best that God has to offer too. So we know we're going to see divine breakthroughs. We're going to hear about miracles, things that are happening, life-changing, life-invigorating, spiritually just exalting going on right here and right now. And being in that divine seat as being the first-hand recipient, I want to be able to share this with you and to bless you with the blessings that God has imputed within my life. That's right, because let me tell you something. It's not all about us just getting it all for ourselves. We have to share the gift with others. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. The more wealth that God imputes in my bank account in my life, the more I'm going to be able to give and will give to others. That's right. The more knowledge that God imputes within me, the more knowledge I'm going to instruct when it comes to you. The more love God gives into me and pours into me, the more I'm going to show his love to you. That's right, not have love for you, because I can have something for you and it's kept in skillful and careful reserve, but if I don't give it to you, you're not going to reap the benefits thereof. And so I just want to be that voice. That's right, that voice of change, that voice of advocacy, your sister, that's right, and your fellow Bible compadre, your fellow Bible student. That's right, we're all students. We're learning in the classroom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're taking on his instruction, and we're sharing that good news with others. And I tell you, it's a blessed and wonderful place. And out there in listening radio land, this is just a word of knowledge. I don't know who you are, but you know what? God knows who you are. He knows where you are. You've came against some situations in your life that you have tried to change. You've tried every measurable mean in your life to change. The more you attempted to make things change, the more adverse they, the more complex they got. You got to the point you just said, I don't even care anymore. And a spirit of negativity has overtaken you. It's caused you to stop praying. It's caused you to stop believing. It's caused you to start murmuring and bickering and being argumentative and confrontational. Let me tell you something. This is a word from the Lord. You better listen. If you want to come out of this and come out of this on top and receive the very blessings that God has promised to you in this phase that we're being under the dispensation of the Shekinah glory, receiving the unction of the latter rain, you listen. God has purged you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God didn't turn his back on you. God did not forsake you, nor even attempted to forsake you. God had to purge you of those people that were in your life. Those people that didn't mean you any good. These people were Johnny come latelys and see what you got to give me come friendlies. They were not true friends. They were not your true supporters. And so you had to experience this phase in your life so God could show you who truly was on your side. And when you break it down, you do the math, apply the science of application, you will know that the Lord was on your side. Who you think kept you sane, kept you balanced, allowed you your good health, maintained an equilibrium where you could function normally? It was the Lord. But the Lord had to purge you before he blessed you. That's right, because you know what? He did not want you to get above and beyond yourself and believe that you're superficial and didn't need him. Now you see and understand your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough is coming in three ways. Financially first, because you're in a desperate financial situation. I'm praying for financial prosperity right now, that God will supernaturally just replenish what you have, and it'd be much more than you ever anticipated. You're going to receive some correspondence about money that is due to you, that is going to be paid to you. Be wise. Utilize it for your personal expenses. Of course, we know money answers all things in this world, but be humble enough to bless someone else who is in need. And when you bless someone who's in need and you get this financial breakthrough, God's going to multiply your seed accordingly. Scripture tells us, give and it shall be given to you again in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. God is cracking skulls. He's breaking down allegiances. He's breaking down financial barriers, and he's blowing in an influx of finances, of money, for those of us who have been diligent. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Now that God has made us ruler over many, what are we going to do? Are we going to glorify God? Praise his name, bless his people, bless the poor, bless those who don't have. Are we going to sit there and be idle-minded and be carnal-minded and refuse and refute to do? That's why God purged you. He did not want you to go the other way. God's hand of deliverance brought you and me this month. Let us understand that. Let's get that straight. We don't glorify man. We glorify God. Because to him be the glory. Because he could have did it for someone else, but he did it for us. Why? Because he loved us so. That's right. Sometimes when you love a person, you have to make them wait it out. We waited it out, didn't we? We went through the storm. We waited it out. But you know what? Whom the Lord loves. Isn't it wonderful to be loved by God? To be loved by him? Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastened us sore, but oh, he didn't turn us away. And this is our season to receive the greatness and abundance of financial prosperity. So that's one area. Thank you, God, for our season has finally come. Second thing, you're going to hear a very, very good report about a circumstance that had faced you in times past regarding a loved one. I don't know if this loved one is a relative, a close relative, or a distant relative. That person is going to come to you because you've been on their consciousness. This is a rare word of knowledge, and I have to speak this as the Holy Spirit is giving me knowledge to speak right now. That person is going to break through the vortex of their emotions, and they're going to contact you, and they're going to talk to you, and you listen to what they have to say. They're going to pour their heart out to you, receive them, and know that it was the Lord that caused this person to come back to you. And it wasn't because you were mean and you imputed some degree of fear and demanded respect. No, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the power of God. And Scripture says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord, the spirit of the Lord is the empowering force within us. And his power functionalizes when we let go and let him. That's the second thing. The third thing in your life that you've been praying about a helpmate. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to find a wife, a helpmate, because it wasn't good for man to be alone. That's why God created one man, the womb out of the man's side, to be his helpmeet, the support. Not for him to push her behind, but to hold her at his side, near her, near his heart. And to the woman who is virtuous, you've been praying and asking, there's three levels of blessings that I'm speaking to you right now that you're going to receive. God is going to allow you to meet that person. Ladies, that man is going to see you. I don't know who you are. He's going to see you, and oh, my God, as Boaz looked upon Ruth, out of all those wonderful women that were in his presence that were trying to get his attention, God focused Boaz's attention upon Ruth. You talking about a great love story? Ruth went about her way. She wasn't trying to get attention. She went about her way doing what she was supposed to do, and God sent Boaz. And Boaz married Ruth. He was a handsome, rich ruler and made her the happiest woman in the world, in civilization in that day. And to you, the male listener, I don't know, the listeners, there's maybe more of you, I don't know. But God is going to bring you into contact with that virtuous woman that you prayed for, that old-fashioned kind of girl who's not materialistic. Instead, she's idealistic. That she loves God and seeks his faith. That's right. And it's not going to be for you to allow other people in to your relationship. Let God build a relationship. When God connects the two of you together, what God puts together, let no man divide asunder. Keep it to yourself, to you and that young lady. And to that lady, you keep it to yourself. And let God go you and grow you together. That's a very unusual word of knowledge, three-fold blessing. That's right, being spoken into your life because God said this is the season of Shekinah glory. The latter rain has already fallen, and it's time for you to absorb the benefits of that latter rain. And just know, make sure that you turn back and be as that one leper that went back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and thanked him and gave homage to him. Let us be careful. Let us be careful to make sure we give homage to God. Don't say, oh, it's because I look so good, I talk so good. No, it's God. Oh, but God. And remember that. Let us keep that in our memories, lest at any time we should let these things slip. So praise ye the Lord for all of his blessings, and thank God for the reading of his word of knowledge through the Holy Spirit. That's right. And blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he is whom I trust, who subdueth people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passes away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is in the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I praise until I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David from his service from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hands are right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in, nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Hallelujah. That word confirms the prophecy. That word confirms the exhortation I've given you about the Shekinah glory and the functioning of the latter rain. Blessed. When you think of the word blessed, it's Psalms 144, and I hope that you're there with me because we're going to be speaking today on the mighty power of God. Now, as we know, we're in the Shekinah glory phase. We're experiencing the very unctioning of the latter rain. And when these things occur, first is the dispensation or the period. That's right. The dispensation means there's a defined period where certain things are going to take place. That's right. And the very unction of the latter rain is condensed within the Shekinah glory phase. When we can refer and relate to the word blessed, what is that word blessed? That means favored divinely. So the word blessed means favored divinely. Write that down for the record. So when you say, how am I today? Blessed. Some people say blessed. Some people say blessed. That's right. Either way, it means the same thing. You are favored divinely by God. That's right. Not by man. See, God's divine favor causes man to reach in his bosom and to hand you the money, to hand you the favor, to hand you what it is that you have need of. It's the hand of the Lord, the benefits of being in God's service that provides us the opportunity to receive these great and wonderful things. Blessed be the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord God. That's right. There's only but one Lord, God the Father, who created the universe. God the Son, he and the Son are one. You can't separate Jesus from his Father. He said, I am my Father. I want. He said, you've seen me, you've seen my Father. No man goes unto the Father except he does what? Come by me. So you go and try to separate, be Mr. Smart and Miss Smart. I don't know who the two is. He said, I and my Father are one. You can't separate me from my Father. We acknowledge. That's what, see, Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God amongst mankind. He had to become simple flesh in order to take on the sins of the world, our sins, because, see, we were born into sin, and we were shaken unto iniquity. So he had to come in the formulation of sinful flesh so that he could take on sin and nail sin to the cross on our behalf. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He was perfect. That's right. But see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, you need further supportive mechanisms about Jesus and God being as one, he being God the Father and Jesus Christ being God the Son. Go to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. You know, see, the Gospel of Matthew was the gospel to the Jews, to the children of Israel. That's right, because you know there was a split. That's right. There was a split in the very Hebrewic enunciation of things. That's right. So, nevertheless, the very act of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming to them, helped to conclude and reunite the house of Israel, that's right, with the nation of Israel. That's right, there was a separation point. That's right. One decided to go and believe only in the law of Moses. That's right. When the other decided that the rabbinical order of things were not in corresponding reflection to what Christ taught. That's right. See, the order of the Jews controlled the mechanism of what facilitated the operations of the house of Israel. But see, the nation of Israel remained true to God because they know that God's favor was upon them. The 15th chapter of the book of John is the gospel. It's condensed. It's the gospel to the world. That's right. The first verse says, I am the true vine. This is our Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord speaking. And my Father is the husbandman. Second verse, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bear fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Didn't I just tell you about how God purged you so you could get you right in this season, so when you receive that you would know it was him and it was nothing that was done in your power? Now, that's the evidence there. The two are as one. And that's the reason why we are to be as one. We're part of the spiritual church first. Then we come within a collective association of the physical church. So we're still the one. We're serving and believing only in one God. He says, who's my strength? Back to Psalms 144, my strength, which teaches my hands to war. I mean, teaches me how to fend for myself. Teaches me how to do on my own and my fingers to fight. Teaches me how I need to go in and to reclaim that which is mine according to his majesty, his authority. Second verse, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he is whom I trust, who subdueth people under me. What is David saying? He's saying, God, you are my El Shaddai. You are the Almighty God. You are the penetrating force that breaks down the barriers of hindrance, that destroys strongholds, that melts down the very arsenal of the enemy, that gives me guidance, that gives me knowledge, that imputes wisdom within me, that guides me, that strengthens me, that shows me, that illuminates for me. You are all of these things, that's right, unto me. Third verse, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Now, behind that word him is an exclamation point. He didn't ask a question. He wasn't questioning God. He was making an open-ended statement. He says, Lord, Father God, El Shaddai, Jehovah, who am I? Who is mankind that you should even consider them? This is what he's making a statement. Or what? Or the Son of Man. That means the very descendants of those who you've created. That thou makest account of him, that you would even consider him as being worthy of your presence, of being worthy of your blessing. Who are we? The fourth verse says, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that pass away. What is he saying? David's saying, you know what, Lord? As Job stated in the 8th chapter and the 9th verse, and the 14th chapter and the 2nd verse, he talks about the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's saying, God, you know what? We're so shallow as human beings. We're so, you know, limited in our capacity to understand, to be knowledgeable, to think, to act, to respond, and to feel that which is relevant to compassion. We're so limited, but you look beyond all of our faults and see our needs. You considered us when we don't even consider one another. What a mighty God we serve. The 5th verse, bow thy heavens. That means the elements. Be subject to God. You are subject to God because God spoke you into existence. Oh, Lord, come down. That means God, connect with us, communicate with us. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. God, this one whiff of your power One slight hiss of your breath will cause those mountains to smoke. He's talking about the volcanoes. The term volcano wasn't used in Scripture, but we talk about smoking mountains. That means volcanoes. Okay, that's for the record. The sixth verse, cast forth lightning and scatter them. I mean, show people that you control the elements. I don't care what the weatherman says. That's right. You know, the meteorologists can make all kinds of predictions. God is in control. I've heard some in some biblical discussions saying that the government controls. Well, let me tell you something. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. It's going to be what God said it's going to be, no matter what mankind has to say. Let them think they can control something. He will speak the elements to do counterclockwise and baffle those who think they know. Seventh verse, send thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. That means that set forth your hand of divine intervention on my behalf so that they who do not love you, and how can you partner with people who don't love God, people who don't respect God, who don't acknowledge God? You are unequally yoked. The Scripture tells us, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But what fellowship have God with Satan, Christ with Belial? There's no connectivity factor. How can two walk except they be agreed? That means deliver me, set me on high from those who don't believe. Some people are so, book-wise, that they are totally senseless to the reality of God. They think that their knowledge and their education explains the totality of their existence. They have no knowledge of God. They have no reasoning capacity to even consider God. He's saying, keep me shielded so that I know how to conduct myself when I'm around these people. That's like as educators and as motivational presenters and as instructors, we're going to be exposed to all of these types of people. And we still have to uphold that standard, Jehovah Nisi. God is my banner. That's right. That's right. And to serve, Jehovah to serve, is God is my righteousness. We still have to uphold that banner in the midst of our academic constituents and to let them know. Whose mouth, eighth verse, speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. You know, some people believe that because they have a certain level of echelon, that means a certain stratification level, where they consider that be at the top of the hierarchy of their profession. They've made numerous accomplishments. They've got the rightful referendum of activity amongst certain social liable organizations, that they believe that they don't need anybody. They don't need anything, that they're complete, and that they can snob and look down upon others. And so what King David is saying here, this is before he became officially king, he was spoken king in the spiritual world. See, nothing happens in the natural world first if the spiritual world doesn't conceive it. Then in the natural perspective, things is birthed outwardly, as we were. And he's saying, keep me while I'm in the company of these people. Because they live a falsehood. They believe, some people right believe, that education is supremacy. That being academically inclinated makes you superior to others. And they're blinded. And know they not what Apostle Paul said? He said, the knowledge of this world is devilish, it's sensual. That's right. He that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Why? Because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't care how morally attuitive that you and I are, we in our flesh will never please God. It takes a spiritual birthing. That's right. We have to be born again. That's right. And our faith becomes our righteousness, not my education, not my socializing affiliations, not my striata of accomplishments, but my faith reflects the righteousness of God. This is the only way that he can even look upon us in this manner. So these things are limited in their capacity, and they won't make you right with God. So he's saying, please help me so that when I'm in the midst of these individuals, I know how to conduct myself and do that which is right. Ninth verse, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of ten strings will I sing praises unto thee. And that instrument of ten strings is a harp. And the harp makes some of the most beautiful music, most flowing music of definitive symmetry that you actually can even experience. And he's saying, Lord, that I may constantly give reflection unto you. That's right, that I may constantly give praise and acknowledgement unto you, not only in my manner of thinking, not only in my manner of speaking, but in my manner of doing. 10th verse, it is he that giveth salvation unto kings. That means that it's God that allows kings to have dominion over a certain reign or a certain realm. It is God that allows us to have positions. It is God that gives us wealth and riches. It is God that keeps us healthy and alive. It is God that allows us victory over opposing forces. It is God that brings loved ones back to us. It is God that mends the severed. It is God that makes whole the brokenhearted. It is God that makes hurt those that are afflicted. It is him. Everything that is good and is great should be given unto God first. 11th verse, David said, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. Why would he say that again? Because why? Persecution is nothing come from external factors of people who don't believe. It doesn't come from people who are not knowledgeable. It comes from people who profess to have the knowledge of God, but because they're not following the whole truth, they lean toward the doctrines of men, and they become unbearable. The worst persecution one faces as a believer is not those who don't believe. It's those who profess to believe, but their actions are far from it. They're hard-hearted, vindictive, underhanded, backstabbing, unmaniacal, disrespectful, disenchanting, dysfunctional. All of these are the perimeters in which they operate. They're so self-righteous. They have that Pharisee-type spirit. Who do you think gave our Messiah, our Lord, the hardest time? It wasn't sinners and unbelievers. It was those who claimed that they were religiously attuitive and that their righteousness made them right where they could do things. The scribes, which were the intellectual people, the Sadducees, which were give dexterity to as being like your Christian scientists or a form of Gnosticism, as one might relate to, and the Pharisees who claimed to have a knowledge of God but denied the power thereof. As our Messiah told them, you're cleaned up the outside of the cup to look holy, but inwardly you're filthy, you're unclean. Because why? Whatsoever's in the heart, the man is going to speak. And so when you speak of bloating yourself and vanity and pride, see, pride translates into vanity. See, pride says, look at me, look at who I am, what I can do. You owe me something. Vanity says, you're beneath me. This is my philosophy. See, one is a thought, and then the other is a philosophy. See, vanity is a philosophy, while pride is a mere thought of contemplation, saying that, you know what? I do have an overall advantage. The only advantages that we have, let me tell you something, setting the record straight, is those that God gives us and allows us, okay? That is all that we have, okay? So, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of the palace. What is David saying? He's the King David is saying, you know what, I keep calling him king because we know God had already appointed him king in his infancy phases of his life when he was a young lad running about trying to escape the wrath of Saul, who envied him. He knew God had despondent him as the king and had replaced him with King David. He's saying, let our children be a blessing to us. You know what, God-fearing men and women who truly respect the Lord and do what is right are going to produce loving children. They're not saying perfect children. Oh, don't even go there. There's no such a thing as a perfect child. But that child will always come to the recognition of what is right because God will deal with them. That's right. You, when you give your children back to the Lord, God will multiply the very essence of their existence back over and over again to you, and they'll never make you ashamed. That's what he's saying. Let our children, even our children's children, be blessed because we desire your word and we desire your righteousness. that our garners may be full. According a matter of the store, he said, God, just let me run over. Just let our produce, just let my cabins run over with food. Let my refrigerator run over with food. They didn't have refrigeration that day and time because we're talking about ancient civilization. But he's saying, let everything that I have just multiply that is good. My material substance, my food, my livestock. See, livestock was utilized as an exchange of wealth at that day and time. That's right. Let the very assets that I have just overflow so that others will look at me and marvel and say, truly, God is with you. That's right, because being wealthy and then wealth translates to being rich, you know, is a definite factor to many people, especially in the world here and now, that, you know what, you got something everybody else doesn't have. Apparently, either you got a side bar hustle, the worldly terminology, or else, number one, you've got somebody that sits high and looks low and you have divine favor with them. Yes, that means that God's divine favor and his presence is with me. That's the reason why I have this, because without him, I would have nothing. Neither would I be anything or be able to do anything. So he said, let my wealth and my prosperity, the kind of glory phase, that's right, producing this elementation in our lives. The latter rain, bringing forth the sprawl, that's right, of persistent prosperity. Prosperity is across the board. It's dealing first, many people saying no, and I do too, with financial stability, monetary assets. It's dealing with your health, your relationship with God, your relationship with others, and how others look at you, and your affiliation. This is prosperity. It's an evolving circle that continues to expand and expound when you're walking in the truth of God's presence. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That means we be continue to prosper, and all that we do be acknowledged as prosperity at the hands of God. That there be no complaining in our streets. That means that we be kept safe, and that we be kept secure, and that the hedge of God continually abide around us. I love that 15th verse. Happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And when you acknowledge God as the center of your life, the head of your life, and that you have that mono-e-mono relationship with him, God will install all of these blessings, these miraculous transformations in your life. Share the abundance of this word. Psalm 144, that's like, what a mighty God we serve. And truly, we're blessed beyond measure and highly favored. We speak that word of knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a wonderful, blessed, glorious, and victorious week. We'll pick you back up again on next Sunday. That's right, with manna from on high, where God gives his very finest to those who love him. You've got your host of the Most from Coast to Coast, the Esquire, and the HF saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all, ready to ask and even think. Have a blessed and miraculous week. Oh, yeah.